Check, check.
Check, check.
Humana, humana, humana.
Humana, 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 humana.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
New York.
Leather. Baby bumper, bubby New York. Bumpers.
I think we're ready.
Yeah, I think we're ready.
What up, what up, what up? Hey, silly listeners. Welcome to the podcast where we shoot the shit and take our silliness seriously, the professionally silly podcast. It's me, your audible boomfang, Amber Smiles Jones, and our audible side piece,
ooh,
DJ Hey Cousin.
It is I, Wesley.
He's here
again.
In the ones and twos, ain't he?
Yes, and maybe even a three if you're lucky.
So last week, guys, I shared with you that I went on my first date in years. Let's just say it ended with us at her place, wink, wink. I shared an update for you guys about the neighborhood cat that adopted us, and we had a ChatGPT write us up a fun script, and it was an audible good time, a time to be had, if you will.
Oh, yes.
You know, and if you haven't heard the episode, Surviving the Madness episode, go ahead and check it out. This week, ladies and gents, we talk about the weird, gross things that housekeepers come across when doing their jobs. I have some interesting food news about KFC and Doritos and more. So it's going to be got some things to talk about here.
Yeah, yeah.
Subscribe, rate, and review if you want to show your support for this podcast. If you're listening on Spotify, you can also leave comments directly under the episodes that you're listening to. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into it with our POC Excellence segment coming up right next here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. My Instagram algorithm is changing, and it used to be just baddies, food, and comedy skits, but I'm growing up, y'all, because now I have amazingly talented and intelligent people of color on my feed, in addition to baddies, food, and comedy skits.
Yeah, yes, it's added. Mm-hmm.
So I want to go ahead and shout out to Julian Brown. This black man is going to help save the world. He invented a machine that turns plastic into gasoline.
Inventor from Metro Atlanta says that he has a way to turn waste into fuel. He just needs help getting his invention off the ground.
This is pretty cool. 21-year-old Julian Brown has gone viral on Instagram for his invention that turns old plastics into fuels like gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. He calls it Plastiline. He started this journey when he was a teen.
Yeah, Brown is looking to raise $1 million on GoFundMe for a warehouse and to build an industrial-sized prototype. He's got a long way to go. So far, he's raised about $7,000, but it sounds like he really is
he's
on to something.
Way. Yeah, yeah. He's on his way for sure.
Cool.
What a great creation there.
No doubt.
So Julian Brown, if you look him up, you Google him up, you can see exactly how he does what he does, because he explains it. He's literally taking plastic and turning it into gasoline. And we saw a few examples of him actually using it to gas up a car, to gas up the refinery that he has. Mm-hmm. He is using it. It's working. And this is an amazing thing.
Yeah, it really is. And like you said before, he shows you the process. He's not gatekeeping nothing. He's not, you know, creating no kind of barrier or nothing. He's letting you know. Now, mind you, it's a high entry point as far as like you have to build all that stuff from scratch, from hand,
mm-hmm.
or some equivalent to somehow you gotta get your hands on that kind of stuff.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there, he showed you there's
a world.
He
knows what
way.
He's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you wanna check him out yourself, you can follow Julian Brown on his Instagram at naturejab_. He is hella going places, and we need to make sure everyone knows Julian's name, because y'all know the government and rich folk love to steal ideas and inventions from people of color. So,
yeah, she hasn't disappeared yet. So, everybody make sure y'all know who he is, just in case.
Exactly. So, I and DJ Hey Cousin want to hand Julian Brown his flowers. And by the way, he's from Atlanta. So, what's up, baby?
Shout out.
Shout out. Now, did I ruin the Bird Show over the holidays?
Yep.
Next on the Professionally Silly Podcast. So I was handed some responsibility at work, and I'm hoping that it does lead to, you know, more opportunities and hopefully more money.
It will.
So this over the holidays for the Christmas break, I was responsible for 4 of the days out of the time that we were gone. It's about 2 weeks, right? And they have best of that they play during those vacation breaks. Mm-hmm. And there has to be someone in studio that makes sure that everything is running okay, because, you know, problems can occur. And we also have to make sure that everything is in accordance to all of our affiliates, which meaning all the sounds of the Bird Show, all the audio, is connecting with all the affiliates who are currently playing the Bird Show during its normal allotted time. So someone has to be there to hit all the stuff. You know what mm-hmm, I mean? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So for 4 of those days, that person was me. Hey. And it was my first time doing it when I got back from Christmas, because I came in the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was that Friday. I had to go in and do it. And then I also had to do it New Year's Day, mm-hmm. which wasn't great. And then the 2 days before that. But I was freaking terrified.
There was a lot going on, buddy.
Huh?
That's a lot. You know what
it
I mean?
It was a lot. I was fucking terrified because, like, Katie was like, oh, you're ready. Don't worry about it. Kaylee was also saying, hey, man, you got it. You know what I'm saying?
I was telling you that.
You were telling me that. Even that. Everybody was saying
everybody,
it. But
yeah.
That soundboard, there's a lot of levers, a lot of buttons, a lot of gizmos and whatchamacallits and whatnot. And you hit one wrong thing and it can shut down everything.
Mm.
Pretty much. And Friday's show ended up going well until I get an email on Monday.
The whole weekend has passed.
Exactly, about a problem. So without telling you pretty much anything, because I can't, well, pretty much I get an email from my boss telling me that there was a certain radio station in a different state that was having audio issues with the show. And I had no idea there was a problem, because on that Friday, everything was great. After the show, Katie was like, you nailed it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Kaylee was like, you did a good job. You know, the audio engineer that was there with me that day said I did a great job. You know, I was feeling good. I was high successful feelings.
And you had no reason not to.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I ended up doing better than I expected. And then I went back in on Monday, excited about it. And then I get home from work and I see this email. Oh, shit went down on Friday. I'm like, on Friday? What? What? And you know how my anxiety is. I could not think about it.
Yeah. You know? Bro, you were a wreck, as some would say.
Oh, my God. Because so like in the email, it says, my boss says, who worked the board on Friday? That was it. It mm-hmm. was just a question, mm-hmm. you know, and I knew that it was me. So I pulled up my big girl panties and I said, it was me. I worked the board on Friday. And then he said, well, was there a problem that you can think of that would have caused the issue that's explained down below in this email? I read the email, didn't understand anything that they were talking about.
I don't know.
And then I said, honestly, no, I thought everything went well until I received this email, pretty much is what I said. Yeah. You know. And then nothing. Crickets. A day goes by. 2 days go by.
Mm-hmm. Wrecked the whole time.
Yes. Until finally, I finally get to talk to Katie that next morning on that, what day was that? No, it was like, I think it was the next day that we were actually on the show together. Yeah. I think it was. Either that or I called her. I can't remember. But she was telling me, no, I don't think it was anything to do with you. I think it's something to do with the hardware. There must have been an issue there. Because as far as we know, nobody else had any other issues besides that particular radio station. So I was like, oh, okay, good. So it was not me.
Yeah.
Thank God. And so then I was able to take care of business the next on that Wednesday, which is New Year's Day, feeling good because I knew I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't get to get drunk on New Year's Eve, but New Year's Day, I was handling business.
Exactly. Made up for that in spades.
Now, mind you, on New Year's Day, it was kind of creepy because I was the only person in the entire building, eight-story building on New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. Only person there, and it literally felt like I was walking into my own true crime podcast episode. But I hadn't died yet. You know, like it was coming.
Yeah, right, very apocalyptic thing, sure.
But long story long, I already told it, I nailed it. I did a great job,
bro,
and
you did.
And I wanted to say this to you all listening. You know, when you think about it, success usually lies just beyond the edge of comfort. The area where risk feels daunting. But trust me when I say sometimes the reward is definitely worth the leap, because challenges will test your patience and setbacks might even whisper doubts to you. But if we actually try our best to remember that every step forward, no matter how small that step may be, it can actually help prove your resilience. I feel like it's very important for most of us, actually all of us, at some points in our lives when we're trying to chase a dream or whatever that thing may be that you want to grasp, you have to start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because once you do that, the fear itself is going to get, that feeling is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, because now being uncomfortable is now comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the greatest victories that we want can actually come from those who refuse to give up, but actually just kind of jump in. You know what I'm saying? So embrace uncertainty as a stepping stone rather than a barrier. Because remember, every risk that you take in pursuit of your dreams carries the power to reshape your entire future. So keep pushing, keep believing, and let that courage light your way. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. So I want to say that to you guys.
Nice. That was very nice.
I'm going to fuck it up. Titties.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, man. So I also want to go ahead and say this real quick. There's really not much I can say dealing with these Los Angeles fires right now. I know it sounds crazy to say thoughts and prayers, because that's crazy. But for me, I lived in Los Angeles almost 10 years. And those areas that are on fire, I have frequented. I've been to my friends' houses who live over there. I live there myself in several different areas that are on fire. My Los Angeles family, when I say thoughts and prayers, I actually do mean thoughts and prayers. I remember when I was living there, there were other fires, because it unfortunately is a very frequent thing. There would be times we would look up into the sky and there was like smoke blocking the sun. There were times where you would look up at the sky and it's supposed to be blue every place else, but it's red orange. Mm. It's hard to breathe. It's hard to see. You don't know where the fire is going to end up, because those Santa Ana winds are brutal. If you're not from LA, if you never lived there, those winds are normally crazy, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, and with the climate change and the dry climate, what happens is 500 acres of land on fire turns into 3,000 acres on fire, because those embers are riding those strong wind currents and they're setting everything ablaze. So when I say thoughts and prayers to my Los Angeles family, it's not a trend, it's not a hashtag, I mean it. Because I've been there, I've experienced it, I felt the fear, the anxiety of it, but luckily for me, I did not have to evacuate, I didn't have to figure out what I'm going to do with my belongings, with my family, with my children, with my, you know, thank God I didn't. But there are people who I know right now who are still there. Luckily, I know a lot of people who are able to get out and figure out what their next steps are. But there are some of those who I know who decide to stay. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of properties there. And if the fire don't take it, the looters are going to.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to defend everything that they own, everything they have, everything that they worked for. So I understand why they're there. But at the same time, I wish they would leave. Because their safety and their life is just way more important. But I also understand when you survive that fire, you want a life to go back to. So it's kind of bittersweet, catch 22, all those things.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of duality in these situations. You know, it's from the celebrity aspect. Oh, they're rich and famous, they'll be fine.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, you know, this and that. There's, you know, the homeless people who already don't have anything, losing even more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's everything in between. Like, it's, I don't expect it to get better anytime soon, unfortunately.
No.
But I just hope everybody finds safety. That's really what's most important right now. Everyone finds safety. I know, like you just said, G, I understand. People are losing legacies in real time right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people work so hard for that.
I want to share with you guys an audio clip from a friend of mine. Well, she's like an online friend, Tiffany. Tiff_sunshine1981. You may have seen her in a few of Omar Gosh TV's YouTube videos. She's a sweet, wonderful person. And she wanted to respond to those who are making fun of what's going on there. So I'm going to share this video, and then we're going to go ahead and see if we can get back to the silly.
All right.
Your girl just had to stop what she was doing so that I could drop this little rant bomb about the things that I'm seeing regarding the fires in California right now. I am mind blown. I'm literally in shock. Okay. I knew this world sucked, but social media has made it so easy for those sucky people in this world to show themselves. Why am I seeing comments of people say things like, oh, they're celebrities, they can rebuild with no problems, or, oh, they're rich, who cares? I'm sorry, what? Come again? When did our lack of empathy for human beings just become non-existent? Like, hello? These people just lost everything. And some of these people have children. So it's hard enough for an adult to hold it together for themselves. Now they have to hold it together and stay strong for their little person and explain to them why they're not going back home, why their rooms are gone, why their toys are gone. What? Do better. Do better, people. My heart and my prayers literally go out to every single person in California right now, including you people who...
So, DJ Hey Cousin,
mm-hmm.
I live with you, so I am aware that things are changing in your realm of life. Speaking of literally everything that we were just discussing,
mm-hmm.
I want to go ahead and give you the floor.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, man, this is... The whole time I was talking about the whole fire thing in California, I was also thinking about myself as well, as far as having to rebuild. I mean, as far as myself, there's been a couple of years of rebuilding. I mean, that's why I'm here with Amber and her father, and it's been quite a task. They've seen me at quite a low point in a sense. And it's been a climb back up, you know. So, which isn't a new tale. It really isn't. You know, everybody has their point. At least I believe they should. In which they're at a low point and they have to rebuild and they have to do some introspection and see what's working, what's not working. Throw away some stuff, add some new stuff. You know what I'm saying? Rearrange some current stuff, and evolve to a degree. You know, people say change is bad. Well, you know what? They don't say change is bad, but they do in the decisions they make and how they feel when it comes to change for themselves. You know, when they're faced with the opportunity to alter something about themselves for the sake of, I don't even say a greater good, but for something they say they want. May it be a person, may it be a material possession. Oftentimes, there will be some resistance because we've been taught that by society, by our whoever, that you're fine the way you are, which is true to a degree. But when we say change, we don't mean change. We mean evolve. We mean take apart and build back together better. You know what I mean? That's what a lot of the time, that's really what it means. For myself, It's been fun in a way, because I've been able to tear myself down, as painful as that is, and rebuild myself a little bit in some key ways. I mean, even now I have another car. The car I've had before has been not great. It's been trash, to be fairly honest, even though it was a...
Your car reminded me of a piece of shit that came out of a dead animal sphincter that happened to have wheels on it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Yeah, see, thank you. That's that's what we mean. That's that low point we were telling everybody. And or at least one of them. But again, within the grand scheme of things, I'm very honored and I'm grateful to have these problems because it could be so much worse. So when it comes to not having a car, to not having a job, not having a stable income, not being to really move the way a person, an adult, is supposed to move in this world, in a way that leads to success. And that can be very discouraging for not just a person, but especially a black male. Mm. You know, so it's gratifying to see these small steps because they're very big for me.
I have a question for you. Would you say that because that you are a man, that it may feel like societal pressures hit you a little harder?
It's not the fact they hit me harder. It's the freedom of expression or lack thereof when it comes to how hard those problems hit. Because it's one thing experiencing something, but it's another thing entirely experiencing something and you not having a space to truly let that out in, you know, to vent and to express how hard that journey is without pushback, without, you know, suck that shit up. That's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you shouldn't feel this way. You know, just some level of acceptance of that feeling, regardless of the circumstances.
I can definitely say, as a woman, you know, most of the people closest to me are men, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
Most of my, you know, my comrades have penises. So, but I have noticed, not just through them, but through the other men in my life as well, society tends to not really give a shit about a man's mental state, about the things they're going through, about their emotions, because stereotypically you're supposed to be a man, be strong, stand up, man up, figure it out. What do you mean you don't have a job? How why aren't you supporting that? You know, it's just societal pressures of just being a man in general. And ladies, calm the fuck down. I'm not saying we ain't got it bad. I'm just saying that the opposite gender, the men, they also have their other set of problems. But the problem is that those problems are ignored and or belittled. And I think as human beings in general, all of our issues matter. I think that it's sad that a lot of men, our fathers, our brothers, our cousins, our best friends, our, you know, even men we look up to, like, for instance, Mo, he has shared many times, mm-hmm. That he has not felt like someone, like he could actually share when he's going through something. Most men tend to mm-hmm. keep those emotions, those thoughts, those self-doubts and all those things to themselves. And I think that fucking sucks. That fucking yeah. sucks. And that's, as a woman, I wanted to acknowledge that I noticed that and I see that. Mm-hmm. And for my men buddies out there, I got you.
We have a true ally. All right. She's not a panderer. All right. She's not a grifter. She's with us.
I also want to say that if I was a dude, I would have the biggest dick. It would be at least 8.5 inches.
Really? Okay. Well, how? What about girth?
Oh man, we talking about girth. Think about a Roku remote.
Mm.
I'm thinking I would at least have that.
Not bad. Not bad.
Because it's not too wide, so the women don't have to be afraid.
Yeah.
But it's wide enough to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you a shot.
Show or a grower?
Oh man. Yes. Well, first of all, let me just go ahead and congratulate you for, you know, coming to your next level, bro. You've entered your new chapter, your new level, and I'm excited for you, man.
You know, I don't even see about it as levels. I just see it as a trek upward,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a chart or a trek up a mountain of some kind. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
like a journey.
Like a journey.
Yeah. That's smart.
Yes. So, you know, it's going to be more stuff, a lot more stuff coming up. And, you know, I am going to celebrate it with each thing, but I'm not going to put too much on it because I got more to do. That thing just means that I'm doing well. So let's continue that momentum and keep it going. You know what I mean?
So in other words, the journey has just begun.
Yes, it has.
Ooh, that's deep. Have you ever thought about the strange things people have left behind in hotel rooms? Well, I certainly have. Next on the Professionally Silly Podcast. I can only imagine the things people leave behind in like Airbnbs or hotels or places like that. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. First of all, you just opened up like 7 doors of times I've left things in places and I just couldn't get them back.
I mean, like you can always go to Starship and get a new anal bead. Anyway, let's move on. The things that...
It was cherry flavored. Yeah.
I hate you. The things that housekeepers come across is very interesting. So I found a few weird, gross, and awesome things people left behind. Ugh. All right. BuzzFeed always comes through with the most random shit, and I fucking love it. So let's see that weird ass shit that housekeepers come across. So the first one here says, I clean for a property management company after move outs. I used to do that actually.
Yeah.
And someone left a dead pigeon wrapped in a freezer with a squirrel hidden in the closet.
Okay. Was the squirrel dead too?
I think so. That is weird how they just said dead pigeon wrapped up and a squirrel.
Yeah. They just,
maybe the squirrel was alive.
Yeah. They just mentioned the squirrel like offhanded. Like, oh,
well, they do have an emoji with like the mouth where the line is just straight. So maybe the squirrel was alive.
You know, I'm going to go with the squirrel was alive, also tied up in the closet, like kidnap style.
Exactly. Tell me where your gold is. Yeah. All right. So the next one says, I clean apartments after people move out. I have yard sales every few months. I find so much stuff, dishes, clothes, guns, money, drugs.
That's a dope hustle, though. That's a dope hustle.
You know what I'm saying? I've even found live fish in a toilet before.
Ooh.
When you think about it, you're right. You know what another dope hustle would be? Crime scene cleanup once you get like certified and shit.
Yeah.
Because that's disgusting. They have like a few YouTube videos and like TikToks and shit that show like the things they clean. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bet. Man. But hella money.
Ooh, I believe
hella
it.
Hella money. All right, so the next, that's so gross. Also, why would you leave a live fish in the toilet?
I mean, maybe they forgot it. Maybe it was,
why was it in the toilet to begin with?
The water from the sink is too dirty. This is the cleanest water I could find.
That makes no sense.
I know.
Moving on.
I'm trying to think like an idiot. I don't know.
I get lots of food and alcohol. One year on Christmas time, a guest left a whole ham, a pie, some tasty wine, and $200 with a note that it was for me to take home. They had shown up early, and I helped them with any questions, so she was thanking me. It was very sweet, and we had a few yummy meals.
Wow, that was just a gift.
Yeah.
That's just a gift you received.
I can be honest with you, bro. When I was a property manager in Los Angeles, I got a lot of really cool things from my tenants. I got food, especially food.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even as tenants moved out, I got some of their dope furniture because they didn't need it. And I'm like, oh, dope.
Okay.
It was really dope. You get some really interesting things when you treat people right.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
All right. So next up we have here. This is so gross. It says here, a pile of human skin on the floor beside the bed. It was like sunburned skin peelings or something.
Oh,
truly
I was about
disgusting.
To say, was it fresh or was it scaly? I was about to ask that question.
I was like, yo, who was filleting flesh and just leaving it behind? Why did you just say I came across a crime scene? That's what I was thinking.
Right, right.
I was like, ugh.
It was probably a hotel near the beach. And parts got some bad sunburn, and that was the effects. Yeah,
that's one thing that like I kind of feel bad about with white people is that like they sunburn and peel real bad.
Yeah, those Anglos are sensitive.
Oh my god, yeah. Those poor people. All right, this one says, I worked as a hotel cleaner for one day. I found a trash can literally overflowing with used condoms.
Oh.
I quit after my shift ended and never came back.
Valid. Very valid. I'm not mad about that at all.
Valid. This is another one. I was working with another cleaner when we found a butt plug in a pullout couch. The poor girl I was working with picked it up because she thought it looked like a ring pop.
Oh.
You know what? It's hilarious. I forgot about that one. I made that butt plug joke earlier. No, I said anal beads.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah. You know, tomato,
anal
tomato.
Devices.
That kind of thing.
Anal devices.
Anal devices.
It's all fun.
It's all about that AD, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Our last one here is, I once found a gun, a diamond ring, and a dead body.
Whoa.
Don't know the story, but definitely the ending.
This boy walked in on a heist.
Yo, no,
gone
that
wrong.
Was the crime scene that I...
That was a heist gone wrong, boy.
Shit. Yeah, I got to tell you, I have found some strange things when I was doing move-outs as a property manager in Los Angeles.
Craziest thing.
God, there's so many. Craziest. I think the grossest
top three.
Like the top three horrible ones?
Yeah.
All right, definitely on this list for sure.
We'll do top three horrible, top three best.
Well, we'll see. Okay,
we'll see.
It's like on the like cusp shit.
I know, right? I know.
All right, so the grossest one that I can really think of is, I still remember the unit number, unit 304. This woman moved out. Something was wrong with her mentally, but when she moved out, we had real wood floors in these studio apartments, real wood, not laminate.
Mm.
She moved out. I will open the door and it smells like urine.
Oh.
The smell is so strong, I was gagging.
Oh.
And the wooden floor was buckled. I'm talking about at least 3 inches. I'm buckled in several places. We had to rip the wood out and replace it. It was crazy.
What was it?
It was pee.
Pee?
Pee. It was urine. It was either her or her and her dog. She had a 6-month lease. And I remember when I checked her bathroom, it was the cleanest part of the room. Like, she never fucking used it.
You know how scary that is?
Terrifying.
How scary that sounds? All right, best thing. I need a palate cleanser.
One more worse one.
I said I need a palate cleanser.
Unit 201.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
Nope, sorry. I was 101. They were 103. Unit 103.
That's too close.
They move out. My job is to make sure that everything is insect-free and all that. All the units are great except for this one. Every month, we had this job of just kind of alternating units and giving them like a preventative like monthly spray.
Yeah.
So what we would do is I would pick a floor each month, and I would do a couple of units. One unit, the unit across, and then the units next to it, and then the unit below it. And we would give you like a list of things to do to prepare for it. Like, you know, just take out the things you cook with.
Yeah.
We're going to spray inside your cabinets. So take those things out and put them away so we don't, you know, fuck that shit up. Mm-hmm. Move your huge, your larger furniture. Just pull it like a few inches from the wall so we can get the little holes back there.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it. These people did not want to do it in Unit 103. Every time they would opt out. And when they moved out, I realized why. I opened the door. And as I'm opening it, something falls on my shoulder. I look at the door frame, and it is covered in dead roaches everywhere. You go into the room, they're crawling on the ceiling. They're crawling on the floor. They're crawling on the walls inside the kitchen cabinets. They left a lot of shit behind, too. And so you just know wherever they moved, they took roaches with them.
That's so gross.
To the new location.
That's so nasty.
Mind you, these people just had a baby. And had a toddler before that. So we're talking about 4 people living in a studio apartment they would never let me spray down. So when they moved out, we opened the walls, we ripped up the floor, we had to spray everything.
Yeah, oh my God, that is so God.
Yeah, so I found a lot of crazy things. When they moved out, we renovated that entire unit. But they were there before the company I worked for bought the building. Mm. So once anyone who was there before we bought the building... they got to keep all that stuff, kept their same rent and all that. Mm-hmm. But once they, there was an addendum to their lease. Once their lease was up, they had to pay like 3% rental increase. And eventually they do that because eventually you're going to have to leave because you can't afford the increase. You were there for a reason. That's how that works. Mm-hmm. That's how they get you out of there. And so that's what happened. So once all those people left, we were able to really clean these places out. But that was one of the worst experiences I had.
Oh my.
Also, that turtle I found. All right, enough of that.
All right, well, that's enough of that.
Oh my God, so I came across a new restaurant that serves only food that's made from chips.
Oh.
Yeah, sort of. Let's talk about that on the Professionally Silly Podcast. I like Doritos as much as the next person, but a restaurant that only serves Doritos and fused dishes sounds crazy to me. And also, KFC is about to drop a sandwich that's going to kick some major ass. Mm. Yeah, so the @MouthAttack Instagram page is at it again with some interesting food info that I came across. This crazy food news. @MouthAttack on Instagram says, Frito-Lay is turning up the heat with an exciting announcement. The debut of the first Doritos restaurant, Doritos After Dark. That's the cool. That's the name of it. Opening in Los Angeles, located inside the iconic crypto.com arena. This restaurant will cater to fans attending events, offering a bold and flavorful menu perfect for satisfying late night cravings. The restaurant will only be accessible to ticket holders during scheduled events at the arena. Taking cues from our customers, we are enabling people to experience their favorite brands from Frito-Lay in a new delicious way, said Caroline Braff, Vice President of Culinary Marketing at Frito-Lay, in a news release. Another quote here, the globally inspired flavors of the Doritos After Dark menu will invite late night food fans to see the creative and surprising ways Doritos can enhance their favorite meals and cocktails. Oh, shit. Mm. With its bold menu and unique concept, Doritos at the Dark is set to be a game changer in the late night dining scene. Whether you're catching a game at the arena or exploring the pop-up shop, this is a culinary venture you won't want to miss. Now, clearly, this was a cold read because I had no idea this was going to be in Los Angeles. I thought it was going to be in New York. So, hopefully, once things are taken care of in Los Angeles, that this will still be a thing, because this does sound like a very interesting thing. Is this something that you would try?
I mean, why not?
I had a Dorito. The Cheetos that are hot.
Flamin' Hot?
Thank you. I had Flamin' Hot Cheeto Sushi before, and it was a Flamin' Hot Sushi Burrito, actually.
Oh, wow.
It was
on
my Instagram videos back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Oh, really?
So why not?
I mean, why not?
Why
exactly.
not Doritos?
Why not? I mean, I would love to take a look at the menu once it's finalized and all that stuff. But, I see no reason not to. Shoot.
So it looks like they have here Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch California Roll.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Doritos Flamin' Hot Lemon Limon Churros.
Of course.
Okay.
I'm surprised those didn't already exist.
Doritos Nacho Cheese Texas Loaded Nachos.
I've already made that at the house like 5 times.
Doritos Spicy Sweet Ramen Rito.
What?
Looks like a Doritos Spicy Sweet Ramen Burrito.
That's just a big back item. Right there. That's just a big bag item.
That sounds like a prison burrito. I ain't gonna hold
it
you.
It does. It does.
Doritos Nacho Cheese Messy Taquitos.
Oh, wow.
I would fuck that up.
Wow.
I would.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Doritos Sweet and Spicy Chili Chicken Bites.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that would be good. Wow. That would be good.
See, every item on this list so far just sounds like some that we would get high and make at 4 a.m.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have to actually do this ourselves for the YouTube or something.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
We got Doritos Nacho Cheese Crunchtastic Vanilla Cone. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
That's the first questionable one.
Yeah, I don't. Now we just got a little too white there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
A little bit.
Yeah, no. All right, so I was telling you guys about KFC. We're at Mouth Attack once again. I came across this. This was actually 2 days ago. And the Dorito thing, that I came across that recently, but that was posted back in November of 2024. Mm-hmm. So I really do hope that Los Angeles can push through, because it's a beautiful fucking city where amazing, random, creative things like this happen every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so Mouth Attack is telling us about KFC here, and it says KFC has launched a new collaboration with Squid Games, Squid Game in Spain, offering fans a taste of the action with a special Korean barbecue chicken menu. The limited time offering includes chicken served in themed buckets or a sandwich, all wrapped in exclusive Squid Game packaging that fans worldwide are already clamoring for. Sadly, for those in the U.S., this release is out of reach yet again. But if you're feeling deja vu, you're not alone. It seems like every time an exciting international release drops, U.S. fans are left on the sidelines. So here's hoping the KFC frontman steps up and brings this menu stateside before Squid Game Season 3 hits Netflix. Would you try this special Korean barbecue chicken? The chicken looks mouthwatering, but honestly, collectible packaging alone might make it worth the trip to Spain. What do you think? Let us know. So this is what it looks like, and I will post photos on the Professional Silly fan group on Facebook and the It's Pro Silly Instagram page.
No.
I would fuck that up.
Maybe the bucket, but the sandwich, I got to pass on the sandwich.
I would fuck both of those up. You're picky as shit. I would fuck both of those up.
Something about the colored bun.
It ain't nothing but food coloring. It's a pink bun. It ain't nothing but food coloring. I fucked that up.
The bucket, though. The bucket probably got it, though.
Man, again, I fucked that up.
Okay.
So I got to tell you, you want to check out some of the amazing, interesting food news, you want to check out Instagram at Mouth Attack. If there's anything that you can take from this episode, it's people are gross and weird. Why the fuck would you leave a pile of skin behind? Like, I'm sure there was a wastebasket in that hotel room.
Right? Why wouldn't you just put it in the trash can?
Oh, my God. Professionally Silly Life rules. Don't leave, skin behind. That's gross.
Yeah, right.
Shout out to listeners, because you guys are fucking titties. I love your faces, but most of all, the ears that are attached to them. Mm. I love you guys. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, whatever platform you're using, and leave a 5-star and or written review, because it will help my podcast grow, and I would love that.
Yes.
If this is your first time listening, come back and join in on the silly and binge the episodes that you haven't heard yet, and share the podcast with a buddy. And don't forget, every now and then, guys, I've made this decision. I will be bringing the mini-sills back, but I've decided to make it a surprise. It is more fun to... Bah! Did I get you?
Ooh.
Did I scare you guys?
Yeah,
yeah, surprise. Gotcha. I decided that what I'm going to do is I'm gonna go ahead and drop some bonus mini-sodes on you a certain day of the week. I don't know when it's going to be. Mm-hmm. 1 week it might be Monday. 1 week it might be Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Maybe on a Friday you'll get 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But if you are subscribed, if your notifications are turned on, you will get the notification when that podcast drops.
Dang right.
And I'll also let you know on the Professionally Silly Podcast group and the Professionally Silly Podcast Instagram page at It's Pro Silly. All right, listener submissions, if you have any, send those in and we'll take a look at those and share them here online. Share your silliest stories, jokes, and mishaps. If you have any advice or questions or even ideas for the pod, send us those emails at itsprofessionallysilly@gmail.com. All that, once again, can be found down in the show notes. My email, my Google Voice number, all the information on how to follow us on our social medias. DJ Hey Cousin and myself, we've got Instagram, we got TikTok, OnlyFans, Feet Finder. You can find all that in the...
all the above.
All the above down there. All right. So also my P.O. box is down there as well. If you want to send us food items you want us to taste, or
send some stuff.
If you want to write some letters or whatnot, old school, write in some letters.
Yeah, somebody sent some cookies or something.
Oh, I love cookies. P.O. box, Amber Smiles Jones, P.O. box 533, Lovejoy, Georgia 30250. All right. Remember, titties. Ah.
Forget.
Once again, I'm your audible boop thing, Amber Smiles Jones, and thank you so much for listening to the professionally silly station where I take my silliness seriously. And I'll leave you with this: bean bags are just boneless sofas. Anyways, enjoy that. Until you decide to tune in, pea silly listeners, watch where you step. Because there are pieces of shit everywhere and they love to spread their ignorance. Parang sema. Semana. That's next week in Spanish.